Father, we thank you for the opportunity to serve you and to serve others. Father, to love you and to love others. We pray that however it might be your will that this program be used in powerful ways in people's lives. Father, maybe somebody needs an encouragement. Father, maybe somebody needs a laugh. Maybe somebody needs to be emboldened in your word. Maybe somebody just needs to believe that your word is truth, that it is a strong tower. It's a pillar from which they can stand on. And Father, we pray that whatever it is that other people need, it doesn't mean that we need to know what that need is specifically, Father, but we know that you'll lead us and you'll guide us in ways that will meet those needs. And Father, we thank you for what a great grace it is when we get to hear how the radio ministry has impacted and affected people's lives. But Father, we don't draw our identity or our strength or any of that from those messages. We are encouraged by them, but we do not draw our identity. Instead, we pray just for your glory. We pray for you, Father, that we would draw our identity from you, that we would say, this is what we do because we're the followers of Jesus. And so, Father, we just pray that you would lead us and guide us now in your mighty name. Amen.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, November 2nd, 2016. Many a Cub fan is rejoicing, and wow, there's going to be a Game 7. Can you believe it?
I cannot. Who would have thought?
Who would have thought? Well, exciting times, Jason. I know you recently got back from a seminar. In fact, it was kind of neat. You were traveling up. Was it in Tennessee or where was it? South Carolina?
No, it was in Louisville, Kentucky.
Oh, Kentucky. I know on your travels home, we met up with you and Jacob and Larry Budget Tours Bunning. He drove me down, and we met up at Yoder's, and it was neat seeing little Jacob. He was, like, excited to show me a book, and I had seen some of your posts from earlier on where he had met up with Alistair Begg. He was hobnobbing. I wish he had a microphone. He could have gotten some good interviews.
Yeah, I think he could have, because he was bold, and he just was going up and talking to these guys and asking them questions. And, he was really encouraged by the different various messages that were given while we were down at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary for the Expositor Summit last week. And so, yeah, it was great.
Yeah, and I think you said that he was the only young person, or certainly the youngest person there, and yet he kind of, if you will, held his own. We've always called him the little professor, but he asked you, he said, Dad, for my birthday, I would love to attend this conference with you. And you said, are you sure, son? Because there's a lot of preaching, a lot of teaching, worship time. And I know we kidded a little about it last Wednesday, like I couldn't just lay out his Legos and just, you know, play around. But he was pretty attentive and seemed really to enjoy it. And then he sat through, you know, almost a two-hour prayer service, you know, last Thursday night. So I sat next to him and kind of marveled that he was alert. You know, you could get really, I don't want to say bored, but, you know, as other people are praying and then it's time to pray to yourself, or, you know, then another person prays and does a little sermonette, a little three-minute overview on something. He did great.
Yeah, he did at the conference. It was shocking. Did extremely well. Sat through every one of the sessions, main preaching sessions, and then the worship, and we did chapel afterwards on the last day. And he sat through all of it. And in fact, not only did he sit through it, but he was coming away with things. You know, during our conversations afterwards, he would share, you know, his thoughts about maybe something Alistair Begg said, or maybe something that Dr. Stephen Lawson said, or Albert Mohler said. And so it was interesting to find that he was listening and he was absorbing. In fact, I think probably very encouraged by a particular message by Dr. Stephen Lawson on the life and ministry of Charles Spurgeon, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And especially if anybody gets within earshot, Jacob will tell his favorite story from the conference, which is Charles Spurgeon was going to preach in Exeter Hall. They were doing work on his church to make it bigger because so many people are coming out to see Charles Spurgeon. He's known as the prince of preachers. And upwards, I mean, he was 21 or 22 years old, and he had upwards to 20,000 people coming to hear him preach on Sunday morning. And this is a time with no screens, no worship band, no microphones, none of that kind of stuff.
No fluff.
None of, none of what we rely on today. Just a man, they would do congregational singing, and a man would get up and preach. But he was going to Exeter Hall to preach there for a number of weeks while they were working on the other church. And he kind of, Charles Spurgeon made the walk up to the platform because they had a higher platform because they didn't have microphones. So preaching to 20,000 people with just his voice. And so he got up there and he was going to test the acoustics the day before he was going to preach. And instead of, like many of us would say, testing 1, 2, 3, testing 1, 2, 3, Charles Spurgeon said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Well, he was pleased with the acoustics, and he walked down and met up with another gentleman who was with him, and they were walking out the door, and there was a man standing there, and the man was white as like he had seen a ghost. And Spurgeon said, what is wrong with you, man? And he said, "I was on the roof cleaning, and I heard the voice of God." And Charles Spurgeon said, "Well, what did he say?" The man said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of men." Yeah. And Charles Spurgeon leaned in and said, "You did hear the voice of God."
Yeah.
And right there, before Charles Spurgeon ever uttered a sermon in Exeter Hall, a man was saved.
Yeah.
The man gave his life to Christ right then and there. And that's one of Jacob's favorite stories. That, and he got a good laugh. He said, "Alistair Begg is just plain funny."
Yeah. Yeah, you had said that you were pretty amazed that when he got up to the podium, wherever you were seated, you could see that he just had like a couple little sheets of paper, almost like less than a note card or something, and he just then began sharing.
Yeah, he really, you know, and I think just comes out of, he's been preaching for, I believe he's been at Parkside Church for 34 years, going nearer to 40 years. And I just think such a well-seasoned preacher and somebody who really gives himself to expository preaching. I enjoy, Alistair Begg is probably in my top five of men that I just enjoy listening to. And make it a point to try to every week to hear something that he has to say. Now, luckily, and I know Great News Radio carries this, but Truth for Life is on there, which is Alistair Begg's radio ministry.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I have that comes through my phone, and I will I'll listen to it when I get a chance to listen to it. But it was funny because he preached the he had the 1:30 session, so right after lunch. And so he got up to the pulpit, to the podium, and he said, "You know, I just want all of you to know this." And you have to, I do it no justice because it needs to be in that Scottish accent.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, "You know, I've got the graveyard of the preaching conference."
Yeah.
You know, the 1:30 right after lunch. And then he began to tell a story about how he was in Scotland. And he was with one of his mentors, and they were walking, and the mentor was going to be preaching much the same time, a 1:30-ish. And the mentor looked at Alistair, and he goes, "It's going to be a rough one, laddie." And Alistair looked at his mentor, and he said, "Well, why do you say that?" He said, "Because they'll be full of roast beef and unbelief."
Yeah, roast beef and unbelief.
Yeah, and then Alistair said he went on, and he asked the man, he said, "Well, how come you've never gotten married?" And the man said, because the attainable was undesirable, and the undesirable was attainable. Which just made me laugh. I mean, just a great kind of witty a wit about him. And I would say this, you know, there is, whenever you deal in celebrity, you deal in celebrity pastors, you deal in musicians, you deal in all those different kinds of things. Generally, what we see as the public and then the reality are two different things. You know, sometimes you have somebody who you see their interviews or you hear them preach on, you know, podcasts or whatever, and you go, "Gosh, they seem so great," you know, and then you meet them and you go, you know what, I just wasn't that nice of a guy.
Yeah.
You know, and I've had that happen many times. That's why, to be honest with you, I am not really a fan of meeting anybody who has fame or notoriety because I just find that sometimes that doesn't match up.
Right.
But Alistair Begg was by far the nicest man I have ever met. I mean, I felt no difference in the man I was talking to, the man Jacob got a chance to talk to, out of the pulpit as I saw in the pulpit.
Mm.
You know, it's same kind of warm, I mean, just a real joy of the Lord about him.
Yeah.
And that was a neat thing about this conference, this Expositor Summit, was that it's only about 150 or so people who attend it. It's very small. and you have access to the speakers afterwards. I mean, you'll run into them at the bookstore. You'll run into them, you know, down by where the cafeteria is. After the sessions are done, they come down, and you can go up and talk with them, or they kind of mill around and talk. So there's a lot of access, not only to them, but then to the other pastors around. So it really was an encouraging time away.
Hey, I'm going to ask you a couple of the takeaways or something that maybe would be helpful for our listeners, but I want to make a few announcements because I'll forget, and then you'll be preaching something at the very end, and I'll feel like, oh, gosh, I threw a wet blanket on the Holy Spirit. Jason was moving hearts, and then I had to jump in and get my little two-minute announcement in. But I do want to point out this Friday I'm going to share a special announcement about the trip to Israel, and so I'm going to wait for a few days. But this Friday there will be an announcement on the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. And a week from tomorrow, Thursday, November 10th, Joey Kroll's coming to the Great News Radio Center. He just published a new book called Common Misunderstandings About God, Jesus, and the Bible. And so we'll have a book signing from 5:30 to 7:30. And yesterday I met with Jan Roderick, and she's the one that did all those desserts, hundreds, I think over 1,000 different desserts or individual desserts at our 20th anniversary birthday party. And so she's going to do some desserts for everyone, free, come and go, anywhere between 5:30 and 7:30. Have some desserts, meet Joey Kroll, and if you want to purchase one of his books, that'll be great. He'll sign it. That'll be 5:30 to 7:30, Thursday, November 10th, and we would ask that you would register your attendance, just so we know how many, whatever, cupcakes and cookies and snacks and brownies and how many things Jan will put together. And then we can have tables and stuff set up at the center. But if you can register at our website, greatnewsradio.org, you'll see Joey's book cover right there. And then there's a link below, and you just click on it. We just ask for your name and email and just number of people coming. So it takes you 10 seconds, 13 seconds to register. And if you can't log on to our website, just call Karen and we'll put you down, just so we have an idea of how many people will show up. So that's next Thursday, November 10th, 5:30 to 7:30 at the Great News Radio Center. And that's over at Lincoln Square, and we're in Unit 112 right across from the food court. So it'll be kind of a early view of how the center's coming together. We're still waiting on the countertops. Maybe by Friday they'll all be in. Yesterday we got Larry and Jim Gunther. We got our big refrigerator all in and set up and did some other things. We decided we needed a couple more cabinets in the storage area. But it's really coming together. It's starting to be utilized in a variety of ways. And in fact, tomorrow I'll be meeting with Abby from your church, and we're going to talk about conversational English classes for the internationals. And I have a few other volunteers that are interested in how we can reach internationals and help them with their English. And so we'll hopefully start up classes in a few weeks, and we have some other things that we hope we can do at the center, but things are falling into place. It's looking pretty good, but I can't wait to get the countertops in. Then I can get my computers and everything set up, and then we'll get the microphones installed and the mixer board, and hopefully, you know, we talked about Black Friday. Hopefully by mid-November we'll maybe have our first broadcast there at the Great News Radio Center. But thank you, God, for all the facets that are coming together and how it's already being used with the singing men and some other gatherings we've had there. So exciting times. But Joey Kroll, put that on your calendar, Thursday, November 10th, 5:30 to 7:30. Anytime, just come show up, visit with Joey, maybe purchase one of his books, and then you can have a look-see, as they say, at the progress we're making at the Great News Radio Center. So would you say that you, from this conference you attended on expository preaching, I mean, you've gone to some of these before. I know it's an encouragement for you, but was there any, like, new learning or a technique or a method of studying or preparation that was, like, an aha moment or more reinforcing what you're already doing?
It was interesting because there was a lot of takeaways for me, and they're still kind of gestating. You know, they're still trying to work out how they work themselves out in my life. I think a couple of the major takeaways were Stephen Lawson, who's authored a number of books, a whole series of books, actually, on, you know, the great Puritans, William Tyndale and Whitfield and Calvin and Spurgeon and Lloyd-Jones and that. He spoke on, he did two sessions called Dead Men Still Speak, and he did Spurgeon and Lloyd-Jones. And really, walking through the ministry of those men was just struck again by their faithfulness, their boldness, but then also that what they had that made them unique and special is the same thing that all of us have that makes us unique and special, which is the Holy Spirit. And so just looking at, you know, you revel in the ministry and lives of those men, and then you go, wait a second, Lord, everything they had, I have. Everything that they did, we can do. And I don't mean just me in terms of gifting and that, but all of us.
Yeah.
And so we look at their ministry and we say, Lord, how were they so bold? And then maybe the question really needs to be is, Lord, in what ways am I inhibiting myself from a boldness that the Holy Spirit offers and provides? It was really for me kind of just sitting back and drinking in the ministry as he, you know, described the ministry of these two men. And then going, you know, Lord, where are the marks of some of those things in my ministry and in my own life? Because, you know, not that the goal is to preach in front of 20,000 people. That's really not the goal. But to speak with a level of authority that you could say to a man, you did hear the voice of God, and that man would come to faith. I mean, that man would just be so taken that the word of God. But, you know, and then some things that I didn't even learn. I mean, they said that when Charles Spurgeon would go to preach, to get to that high platform, there's a winding staircase with 15 steps. And they said every step he would pause and he would say, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. So he would say, Holy Spirit, 15 times as he stepped into the pulpit because he wanted to rely on nothing other than the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, and what the Holy Spirit was going to do in and through him in those moments. And I mean, these were a time, if you looked at Spurgeon's preaching notes, I mean, they were sparse. I mean, it was just basically an outline. And then from that, you have this great oration that Spurgeon would deliver. So that was, you know, one part of the conference. But in terms of Alistair Begg, he preached in chapel on the fruits of the Spirit, particularly generosity and kindness. And he just talked about what it looks like for us in a culture which treats us unkindly, for us to return in kindness. One of the things that he shared, which was interesting, is there's a man at his church who's an astronaut. In fact, he said at one point this man was up in the International Space Station, and Alistair Begg says, I'm in my office, and I'm watching. I got the NASA live feed on because my friend, I think his friend was Charles, I forget what his friend's name was, but he said my friend was going to be doing a five-hour spacewalk. And so he says, I got this whole thing on. And he said, you know, I'm working, but I'm kind of on pins and needles. I'm watching him do this thing, you know. And at one point, you know, just like Alistair Begg would do, he goes, I'm like, just hurry. If you'd move a little faster, it wouldn't take 5 hours. Why are you moving so slow? But he said that at about the four-hour mark, maybe 4.5 hours, his friend paused. I mean, he's spacewalking. He paused. And he said, you know, this is as good a time as any. I just want to wish my good friend down on Earth a happy birthday. And Alistair Begg said, I can still remember the chills going up my spine that here is a man who is 250 miles above the Earth in space holding on to this machinery that's going, you know, 17,000 miles an hour around the Earth. And he pauses to stop and wish somebody a happy birthday. And he says, for a lot of the people watching, that seemed like a crazy thing to do. And he said, but for us who know him, that was who he was. There was no difference between the man in the spacesuit and the man out of the spacesuit. And so it just reminded me, it kind of impressed upon me this thought that no matter where we are, we're the same person. No matter if we're in the pulpit or we're out of the pulpit or we're in the office or we're out of the office or in the grocery store or out of the grocery store, we need to be the same person, the person who's marked by a kind of kindness that is kind even when situations appear to be unkind or inhospitable or we're tasked to do something where, you know, it seems like that should be our only focus. But there's always in us this kind of counter-cultural, counter-intuitive kindness that comes out And so I really appreciated when he was when he shared that illustration and he was talking about that, because I really think that that's important for us.
Hmm.
You know, that's important, especially in the season we're in now, where you know we're on the the heels of this election, we're on the heels of every day we turn on the news and there's just who knows what is going to come next.
Mm-hmm.
And the world is a very inhospitable place to those of us who are Christians. And yet we're called to a kindness that kind of breaches the definition of what the world understands. So, I mean, when the world says it doesn't understand us, well, that's true.
Yeah.
And the Bible says that. I think one of the people at the conference, I can't remember who said it, but he says, have you ever run into any of those people who don't know who Jesus is and they tell you that Jesus is just foolish? And you know, kind of the room, you could hear audible in the room, people going, oh, yeah, and then he goes, well, the Bible says they'll say that. So what a wonderful starting point.
Yeah, geez.
What a wonderful starting point. The Bible actually said you would say that. Now we're talking about the Bible.
Oh, classic. Oh.
I just thought, what a wonderful thing where we say, you know what, the Bible already knows. And so the Bible already knows. Let's not lean into our own understanding. Let's lean into what the Bible understands. The Bible already knows.
Well, Jason, not a bad recap. I should tell our listeners right before we began this morning's program, I said, hey, maybe I'll ask you about your conference. And you said, oh, I don't have any of my notes or anything in front of me. And it's like, I think they're at the church. And I'm like, well, we'll just see how things go. And we're kind of out of time. SR News won't wait. But I was thinking when you were talking about, whether it's Charles Spurgeon or just the listener that's tuned in today, we all have that same access to the power, the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, it's Wednesday. I look forward to having you back on Friday. Maybe I'll have some more updates about the Great News Radio Center. I'll make an announcement about the Israel trip. Put down Thursday night, November 10th, for a visit with Joey Kroll as he comes to the Great News Radio Center with his book entitled Common Misunderstandings About God and Jesus and the Bible. And so thanks for being available, Jason, and we'll get you back in the studio maybe on Friday. And thanks for taking the call.
All right, Mark. I'll talk to you guys later, and have a blessed day.
Blessed day. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.